Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the show. The president's calling Chuck right now. He's just going to have to wait. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up.
Back from my golf tournament, which...
You didn't know. So on Friday, I told people you were on assignment.
On assignment.
And I said,
good.
You can always interpret on assignment to mean golfing. And how did you do?
I won my assignment.
Yay! He won his assignment. And he got a head cover for a golf bench.
Yeah. Valuable.
Very valuable.
All valuable.
$20. Hey, the show today brought to you is always in part by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Highly recommend you check them out.
I want to find out about all the coronavirus mandates and who's fighting against it. Got to go to Colorado Citizen Press. Guess it all.
We've got our guest today, Dr. Brian Dundep. He's been on the show multiple times. He's filled in over at KNUS. You always have such great columns up, a lot of times on American Thinker.
And got a couple great ones recently.
Yeah, there are two of them we want to talk to you about. But that started out, Brian, with the latest one you did, where basically, you were the one who said it first, and I've been repeating you ever since, saying it's all about the election. You have to look at everything that occurs through the election lens. And you're saying it never was about the coronavirus. It's always been about the election.
I'll say it's a small part about the virus because we have had viral pandemics in the past and people do get sick and die. There's no denying that, but it's the reaction to it and how it's being portrayed, how the media is covering it, how the numbers are being reported. That part's about the election. And it's unfortunate that if this was strictly about science, we'd have done a lot better and there'd be a lot less misery in the world as a result of all this. But it's
about
influencing an election.
Right.
You point out, which is a part that I find, I guess I understand, most of the left hate about things, but the idea that a what appears to be a good remedy for coronavirus,
treatment
for coronavirus, has been decided that that's political.
Killing people,
and that you can't have it on Twitter, you can't have it on Facebook. I mean, it's insanity.
No matter what, you can insanity. Say it right, I can't say it.
Hydroxychloroquine.
Hydroxychloroquine.
That's what I'm
saying. Right, and maybe let's get you to talk about that, because you are indeed a doctor. Do you think, a group of doctors, and they weren't like fake doctors, they were real doctors.
They were real doctors.
Held a news conference, and they said, here's some of the reality, some of the truths, and you talk about this in your column. And they talked about this drug, which has been around forever for other uses, and they are, because they said, hey, it might be helpful in treating coronavirus, Facebook pulls them, Twitter pulls them, anyone who references them gets pulled. I mean, they've been completely censored by the mainstream media.
About just saying, this appears to work for our patients. I mean, have you ever had anything similar to that in the last, since you?
No, there's no precedent for this. This is how medical and scientific discoveries are made. It's anecdotal. Somebody observes something and says, hey, maybe this works. And they try it on a few more patients. And all of a sudden, you get a larger number of patients where it's working, and you may be onto something. Then comes the scientific method. You create a hypothesis to explain it, and then you test it. And you can there are a variety of ways to test it. You can do clinical trial, et cetera, but try to get some data to confirm that it either works or doesn't. And a large prospective clinical trial, this will burn itself out by the time that gets...
Yeah.
Right. Well, but then you try to get the word out because it might be helpful for people, and you want to get it in one of the more prestigious medical journals because they're peer reviewed, as we all know. And so you go in Lancet, which is the leading one in England, and the American Journal, New England Journal for Medicine. And instead, and they do that, except they're fake studies and they have to be polled. I mean,
right.
I mean, a New England Journal of Medicine doesn't normally, nor Lancet, doesn't really track in phony studies. And here they had to pull them. I mean, unbelievable.
That's a very hard journal to get published in.
Yeah. So
you have to have good data, good study, and the peer review process is rigorous. And you're right, they pulled it. The first study on hydroxy was the VA study. They gave it to patients that were already quite sick, already in the ICU, on ventilators. So they gave it basically too late in the disease course. They also gave high doses, which, yeah, just because a little bit is good doesn't mean a lot is better. And there are recommended doses for this medicine. If you give 5 or 10 times the recommended dose, yes, of course you're going to have problems. You give 10 times the recommended amount of water to somebody to drink and you could kill them. So even water, if overused, can be harmful. But the best study was probably the Henry Ford study out of Detroit, their health system, and they tested it and found that it cut the death rate in half. So are any of these confirmatory? No, but it's suggesting that there may be an effect. So instead of poo-pooing it and banning any discussion of it, the media should be praising this and encouraging more work, more studies, and people use it cautiously, record the data, set up a national registry, and figure out if it works. Meanwhile,
we had a friend who we were at dinner with, Saturday night, social distancing, of course. And he spent a lot of time in Africa with oil companies and had to worry about malaria. And mm-hmm. So I had 12 tablets of hydroxychloroquine in my wand. And he said, you know, at first I took one. He said, I had a bad reaction to it. He said, some people do, some people don't. He said, I felt nauseous and very dizzy and everything else. And he said, look, don't do that. He says, if you look like you're going to get malaria, take 6 of them. He goes, okay, well, that helps. That'll help a lot. And what if it doesn't kill it? Then take the other 6 right away. He says, will that do it? No, but you'll die and you won't have to live with the malaria for the rest of your life.
Well, you know, it is a ridiculous thing, because let me ask you this. That you need a doctor's prescription, right? I can't go to
you can't go to Walgreens and buy hydroxychloroquine. There are things that are similar supplements that you can get, and those are becoming popular, but you need a doctor's prescription. Unlike other countries, a lot of African countries, Canada, other places where I believe you can get it over the counter without a prescription.
Well, my point for this is too, though, is so why is Twitter, it's not as if by these doctors saying, hey, we're doctors, we think this works, you have to ban it from Twitter, like all of us and a bunch of 12-year-olds are going to run to Walgreens and take it and die, right? You still have to go through a doctor. And to me, I don't want Jack Dorsey in the Twitter mob determining my health. I mean, you still have to go to a doctor, and one would hope that the doctor would be able to put all the political nonsense aside. I think the thing is they just, the way that they just so censored this, and it's all just because Donald Trump said he thought it might be good. I mean, it's
they don't want it to work. They don't want a therapeutic out there. Any right. medicine has potential side effects, some of them dangerous. Just look at the product label. Yeah. Antibiotics, heart pills, psychiatric pills, blood thinners, you name it. If they're abused, then they can cause great harm. And that's why they're available prescription only, so that a physician is reviewing with that patient the need for it, the risks, the benefits, and why they're prescribing it. And there's no reason why that can't be done with hydroxy. You have medical boards and pharmacy boards that are banning it. There are places where, I heard from a friend in Australia that if a doctor over there prescribes it, they could be fined $14,000.
You're kidding.
If they're prescribing it for not lupus or not rheumatoid arthritis, if they're prescribing it for COVID. And that's ridiculous. We use off-label medicines all the time.
Right. Well, yeah. So it's like, if it's not going to kill you for lupus, it's not going to kill you. Well, that was going to be my next question. Have you heard of where doctors, because of political pressure, actually not using something that might help their patients because of the political and the peer pressure?
Oh, there are doctors that will not prescribe it for coronavirus. I've had friends, you know, message me and say, hey, do you know any doctors that are prescribing this? And I'm really at a loss to tell them where to go, because most internists, primary care docs are not prescribing it. They're afraid to. They don't want to get sanctioned by the medical board. They're just afraid to, because it's a witch hunt against it,
right?
And castigating and condemning anybody that may prescribe it. And the physician, you can prescribe it for whatever you want. There's so many things that are used off label.
Right. Well, and you use the right word there, witch hunt. It seems to me that we have gone, we have regressed, like, you know, centuries and centuries in how we're handling things and treating things. And that's what this does seem to me to be. It's just a witch hunt. They're making decisions clearly not based on science or even anecdotal stuff. They're just making science. It's like, oh, you know, you're a witch. Now we have to kill you and fine you and take away your license. And, you know, and that can be an effective strategy, really.
Yeah. So what else does that remind you of? Look at the global warming movement.
Yeah.
You've got a couple of big hurricanes, and that's evidence of global warming. You have a lull in hurricanes, and that's evidence of global warming. You have a blizzard. There you go. You have a drought. You have hot weather. You have cold weather. It's all global warming. Mm-hmm. Where's the evidence? There have been no models that accurately predict the future climate. And yet, Democrats are ready to spend trillions of dollars on the Green New Deal to accomplish what? To solve a problem that may not exist or may not be controllable. Yes, the climate changes. It always has. It always will. Chicago, where you're from, it was once under a mile of ice.
Yeah, still
and
is.
Somehow the planet warmed and that ice went away.
Right.
Well, that wasn't by gas grills or SUVs or toxic masculinity in the backyard over the barbecue. That was
we have a huge rock in our backyard that's sandstone, and that's because Colorado used to be under an ocean.
Yeah.
Right. And it's eroding.
So the climate changes, and so far there's not been a model to predict that. And yet the left is all over that. It's settled science. You can't argue it. There it's the opposite. If you argue or question, you're banned. You won't get a research grant. You'll be, they want to put climate deniers in jail.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it does become dangerous, I think, because you have people then making health decisions. I have a friend who is otherwise a fine, healthy, successful in her career, right? And hasn't left her house for months and is now taking Xanax. Right? Because she's so stressed about coronavirus. Now, does she have coronavirus? No. Right? You know, has she been around?
But she'll be addicted to Xanax pretty soon, well, which will solve her problems.
I mean, and to me, I talked to some people and they're really scared. And I mean, and I'm going to get to the schools in a second, but let me ask you, I mean, you're a doctor. Somebody says to
you, doctor.
Ryan, you're a doctor. Should I panic? Should I, you know, go to the bunker and stay there until, you know, next spring? I mean, what do you tell people?
No, statistically, if you're not very old and you're not unwell, then the odds of you getting very sick from this is small. There are people that do, but young people are not getting very sick. I mean, there's always exceptions. But if you are 80 years old with emphysema and diabetes and a bad heart, then you shouldn't be in crowds. You should be cautious and minimizing your exposure. But the reality is all these measures, all they do is flatten the curve. They don't make this go away. So you can wear masks for another 2 months, and then at some point you take off the masks and the virus will be, assuming the masks do anything worthwhile.
Right.
Distancing or isolation or closed businesses, take whatever measure you want. Eventually those stop, and then you may see more cases. But on the other hand, that gets us closer to herd immunity. Once enough people have gotten this, then they're fewer susceptible people. Herd immunity or a vaccine. And, you know, those are the only two ways you're really going to get rid of this thing.
I have a friend who's a dentist, and he says, you know, good times are coming. And I said, what do you mean good times are coming? He says, you wear a mask 12 hours a day, you're going to get dry mouth, and you're going to have real dental problems.
That's why the dentists are pushing. That's why our former colleague, Matt Dunn at KNUS, he's all over this.
Yeah, he's going to be pulling teeth all day.
Well, you know, here's another thing too, though. I was talking with a friend of mine who's younger than me, and she was complaining about all the bars closing at 10 o'clock, right? And she said, so here's what's happening. She said she's got several friends, and this is what they now do. She said everyone goes home from the bar, and then they all go to somebody's house, right? They all buy a bunch of booze, and they go to somebody's house. And she was saying it's ridiculous. At least at the bar people were sanitizing things. The bar was sanitized. There was hand washing and stuff like that. She says now everybody just packs in their cars and drive to the friend's house. I mean, she said people are not getting together. People are not drinking. They're just not doing it in bars. So she was saying.
Well, and the court upheld it. They that's a perfectly reasonable one. You can keep Walmart open, you know, after 10 o'clock.
Well, you guys, the problem, you're missing the nuance that Governor Polis realizes that this virus doesn't bother anybody at 9:59.
Right.
but it has a built-in clock, and at 10:01, it affects anybody it's near.
Right, right.
That's especially the young people.
You know, here's...
If you have a funeral for a family member, the virus is going to get everybody and kill them. But if you have a funeral for John Lewis, and you have people coming from out of state, and the mayor lifts all the quarantine restrictions, nobody's going to get sick. It's perfectly safe.
Right.
10 people in a backyard is going to kill everybody, but 1,000 people marching on Colfax, no problem.
No problem. Well,
it's a very smart virus because it can tell the difference between a whole situation.
Well, it's a political, it's a woke virus. Well, here's another thing, too, that's annoying me with the schools. I mean, this is ridiculous. Our school, at least right now, the plan is, and I'm just laughing because it just, my brain starts to explode.
Changes every day, probably.
Oh, well, exactly. It changes every day. The current plan is, so they'll be in school 2 days with their cohorts, right? And then they'll be online learning, which is a joke, 3 days. As if somehow, I mean, to me, it seems like it would be smarter to keep the kids in school all day long with the same.
Well, they're going to catch it. Going to catch it those 2 days. Is, you know, I mean,
they're going to catch it the 3 days they're out and about and roaming around with all kinds of other people. I mean, I don't even understand that kind of thinking.
Well, I'll give Larry Hogan credit. He's a Republican governor of Maryland. He's a real jerk. But Montgomery County, which I used to live in, or at least my parents did, they said no. Public schools, they don't want to go in, but private and Catholic, we're closing you down too because you can't possibly do it. And the governor said, why them? And they said, well, I don't know. You know,
because we hate private
schools. Well,
that's the teachers' unions mandating that. Yeah, so you want money for your next campaign? You do this. You close them all down.
Yeah, right. Well, you have two great groups of people. You have unionized teachers and you have county health officials, which we found out here in Adams County, part of Tri-County Health, and Dr. is it Blakely?
And
he goes around, you know, issuing edicts left and right, and you know, everybody goes, why? You know, I don't know.
Like I said, that's the school thing, right? It seems to me that if they were really worried about kids catching it, you would want to keep the kids in the same environment. The other thing they're doing is, so now, and good luck with this, they're saying the kids have to wear masks. I'm like, that's going to work. I mean, you're a doctor. Once again, you're a doctor. Your take on that.
They're good for slingshots.
Yeah.
Well, there have been no reported cases of a student transmitting COVID to a teacher. So number one, there hasn't been the issue. In other countries like Switzerland, they're not even testing the kids anymore because they've discovered that it's a futile effort. They're not transmitting it.
Right.
In terms of the masks, they're saying now that even in the ICUs with the nurses wearing all this fancy equipment, they're still getting sick. Well, then how is a cloth mask going to protect you if you're in an environment where there's virus and you're wearing an N95 mask and a face shield and a rebreathable respirator and all sorts
of ears. You got
the ears. Oh, that's right. It goes in your ears now. Yeah.
It's crazy. So, you know, go into a smoke-filled room with a mask and let me know if you can smell smoke. If you can, then the mask isn't working. Or you take a mouthful of smoke and exhale it through the mask into a room and see if anybody can smell it, then yes, they will.
Well, and here's the other dilemma. So my friend who was telling me, we were talking about, you know, Rev School, our son's school, at least is opening today. But her daughter goes to a private school and she was outraged because she said the private school, it's a private school, but it's in Denver Public School and it's in Denver. And she said the private school is saying, we're not sure what we're going to do, but your tuition is due.
Yeah.
And she said, well, wait a minute. You know what? You want me to pay the tuition and then you're going to turn around as soon as I pay your tuition.
And here, then inline learning.
And then we're going to have online learning. It's just, you know.
Well, let's go to a related subject.
That's crazy.
Which is kind of related, which is your July 27th article on polling. Polling is supposed to be objective, and you're supposed to have, you know, and the mathematics all works out most of the time. And even in even the fact that it sometimes doesn't work is mathematically you can determine it. But does anybody believe if they're taking hydroxychloroquine and banning it because they don't like Trump that the polling companies would be somehow immune to that type of behavior?
Oh, no. Polls are designed to reflect public opinion at a given point in time. And that's what they should be doing. But instead, they're trying to shape opinion. The polls come out and they give CNN and MSNBC something to talk about on their shows and to tweet about. And that's all the polls are. You know, oh, Biden with a double-digit lead. Well, Hillary Clinton had a double-digit lead 4 years ago, too. Hillary Clinton was going to win in a landslide on election night, according to the New York Times. When the race was all but over, she still had a 93% chance of winning, or whatever the number was.
No, that's not
true. The polls are nuts. And the polls got it all wrong last time. They're getting it all wrong this time. They oversampled Democrats, which is a big problem. And if you got an evenly weighted sample, the poll results would be a lot different. And another important question is asking people who they think will win. And when you ask that's the majority says, yeah, they think Trump will win.
Right. So
they may answer the phone and say Biden, but, you know, who are they surveying? They're asking whoever picks up the phone, unlike Rasmussen, for example, that only asks likely voters. It's a different sample. And you're not getting a representative sample. So, of course, you're going to get skewed numbers.
Right.
And they're doing it to sway opinion.
Right.
If anybody thinks Biden, who can't even string two sentences together, is going to, you know, stand a chance, they're delusional.
Right, right. Well, they want to just have, you know, the polls. I think you're right. They use it to push it. They use it to give them something to talk about, to tweet about.
Discourage Trump voters. Oh, God, and I mean, what's going on? I don't want to go. I don't want to help out. I don't want to do anything else. I can't win. Blah, 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 blah.
And people are afraid to give an honest answer.
Right.
Yeah, I would.
Right.
You get called on the phone and you say you support Trump and you get in an argument. It's like, why bother?
Right.
Or, you know, somebody on the street, why bother? So you have a growing silent majority that doesn't want to speak out. Cato or somebody did a poll on that. And it's like 2/3 of people are afraid to be honest about their political opinions because they don't want to get their car keyed or they don't want to get beat up.
Well, and, you know, I'll give you an example that happened to us. We were our little boy, thank God, they're playing baseball, right? And they've done a great job. And it is kind of cute to watch the coaches keep reminding the kids to, like, social distance. And, you know, it's like herding cats with a bunch of little 9-year-old boys and girls. But anyway, we were at the game, and all the moms are nice. As you know, parents who've been to these sporting things know, you all kind of just sit around and you chat when your kid isn't at bat, right? And so, but there was this one mom there, she's been very nice, but the other day she had on a Black Lives Matter, I Can't Breathe t-shirt, right? Now I was like, why are you doing that, right? And then I thought, you know what, maybe next time I'll wear a Trump t-shirt. And then I thought, no, why would you want to do that, Julie? It's a baseball game. But I thought, I got to wonder how many other parents were sitting there with me saying, really, really, you had to wear that to this? And maybe I'll wear my Trump shirt. And then realizing that if I wore my Trump t-shirt, I could get punched, or like you said, my key, you know, I'm going to vote for him.
But yeah, you come in with two black eyes to do your show. It wouldn't look
good. Right, there you go. But it's, I think that like you said, it's a silent majority that's angry. Because there was a part of me that's like, it's wrong that in this country, she can wear that t-shirt and it's okay. And I have to be concerned about it and worried about it for my kids' sake.
Well, the media thinks Twitter is the popular opinion of the country. And less than 20% of the country's on Twitter. And of those, probably only 10% are active with it.
Right.
So it's a very small segment of the population. But you have the media, you have professional sports. They're all bowing down to Twitter like that's majority opinion. And they're not. The professional sports teams are listening to Twitter that, you know, Black Lives Matter is a civil rights organization and not a Marxist anti-American organization. And they're, you know, digging their graves in terms of their professional sports franchises.
Yep. Well, the NBA got terrible ratings.
The NFL, nobody's watching.
No, I don't watch it. No. And, you know,
and golf is up, though.
Thank God golf is up, you know.
Well, let me ask you this, Brian. Chuck and I, you know, we talk about this every so often. And I have to say, honestly, if you were to ask, like last election, we had a growing sense that there was growing support for Trump and that Trump very well might and probably would win. This election, I think there are so many things up in the air. There's so much that can happen between now and November. The Democrats are so evil in what they're cheating and what they're doing that I think my honest answer would be, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in November. What do you think?
I'm confident because Trump 4 years ago, he was an outsider. He had, 16 other seasoned Republicans running against him. He defeated all of them. He had the Obama-Clinton machine he was running against. Now he's in charge. He knows what's going on. He knows the forces arrayed against him. I think he's ready. I think the big issues of this election, we may not even know about at this point.
Well, we know mail-in voting and balloting, which they pulled through in Nevada. And it's always amazing how the Republican establishment in Colorado, maybe all Republicans, have just tacitly...
Well, Trump is pushing it. I mean...
Just here in Colorado, 2018, they won by 12, 13%. And George Brockler, he had no idea why he lost. You know, it's Trump. You kind of go, George, Trump had an effect on it. But
Trump lost by less than Mitt Romney.
And we'd have people calling in on our show saying, I work at a nursing home. And the Democratic operatives came in, got 200 ballots out of here and tromped out. And some reported it to DAs, but most DAs are Democrats. So they go, oh, that's good.
Not a problem. Good.
I'll give you a teaser of my article tomorrow in American Thinker. It's on this subject. And it's I did make a point about Colorado and that they started mail-in ballots, 2013, 14, and Colorado quickly went from purple to blue. And
right.
That's no coincidence.
No.
And in terms of the mail-in ballots, what I suspect is afoot, they have the mail-in ballots and they're never going to be counted. It's going to be such a colossal mess. And all you need is a few populist state governors to say, we can't certify the results of this. November turns into December, turns into January, and all of a sudden, you can't decide a winner. Biden's hired 600 lawyers. What are they for? To litigate, to tie this up. If there's no one seated as president on January 20th or whatever the date is, the House of Representatives decides.
Well, that's why they're pushing. I hadn't even thought of this to now, because at first I just
thought the House can put whoever they want. They can put Hillary Clinton. They can put Pelosi. They can put AOC. She's probably too young. They can put anybody in there.
That's why they're pushing Trump won't leave the White House, aren't they? Because they're going to say he's going to have to.
Well, that's an interesting legal question, because the House of Representatives with the Electoral College cannot just appoint anybody. They can only appoint somebody who's won some electoral votes. You couldn't have
Kanye West.
wherever the guy from Utah was, Evan McMullen, if he gotten one vote, he could have been elected by the House president. But
Biden, then they'll just install Biden.
Yeah, well, he'll be dead, but he'll be brain dead anyway.
Really. Just a couple more questions, unless you have some more questions. But any thoughts on, because I know you follow this, any thoughts on Biden's vice presidential pick?
Well, he's put himself in the box. He wants a black female. And that kind of narrows the universe down. And that's kind of important because his cognition's failing, even insiders. Dan Bongino mentioned that he's former Secret Service, and he's getting word from former colleagues that Biden's mentation is rapidly going down.
Right.
So who knows if he even makes it to the convention and they replace him. It's very convenient. They can replace Biden with anybody.
Yeah.
They don't have to campaign.
No.
Right.
They don't have to go through the mess of a campaign and speeches and fundraising and all that. It's all been done. Who he picks, I don't know. That's a good question. There's nobody out there that does not have baggage, significant.
Right. Well,
there's advice to Kamala Harris, to Stacey Abrams, to whoever.
Well, if it's going to be Kamala Harris, he would have appointed Kamala Harris. I mean, she's an easy pick.
Yeah, and Leo is saying Condoleezza Rice. I think.
Yeah, well, Condoleezza. Oh, yeah, she'd be great.
he's not saying he suggests it.
I know. but I mean, he's hesitating from picking the clear favorite. But there's some reason. Maybe they can't get an answer out of them. Go, I want ice cream. No, who do you want for vice president? Chocolate.
I know.
We got that. It's going to be
I think he's minimally, if at all, involved in any of these discussions anyway.
I bet you're right.
It's the establishment that's picking. It's the, the Clinton-Obama holdovers that are deciding.
Right.
If they want a black female, I suggest Candace Owens. I think she'd be great.
Well, there you go. Diamond and Silk could split it.
That's true. They could do, alternate weeks.
There we go. So, Brian, you got a column coming up. Where can people find you and read all your stuff?
American Thinkers, who I write for. I write a column for The Villager, the Arapahoe County newspaper. And I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, the usual social media sewer sites. And you can find me there.
I heard somebody call it the Thunderdome, and I thought that's true. It's a Twitter Thunderdome. Hey,
thank you, Brian. We appreciate you coming on. And
as always,
look for your latest column.
All right.
Thank you. Nice seeing you guys.
See you later. Bye-bye. All right, so we may get on a guy by the name of Larry Bragg, who's running against Emily Sirota, who's probably one of the most progressive members in the Colorado
and
state.
Revolting.
Right, yeah. However, sometimes communications, you can run the communication business, but that could be goofy. So Larry, if you're there in Zoom, feel free to unmute yourself and put your camera on. In the meantime though, 888-627-6008 is a phone number, 888-627-6008, if you wanna call in and chime in. And anybody out there on Zoom, Ben and Mark and any of you other guys, feel free to chime in too. You know, I think to talk a little bit more about the polls, Rasmussen had one that had Trump at 51%. And like you said, we just finished saying that polls are what polls are, right? So who actually knows? But I think though, I think it's interesting, like Brian says, when they ask people who do they think is going to win, it turns out they all say Trump. So those people are getting that from someplace, right? Before, I think in the last election, if you would have said who's going to win, nobody would have said, well, I think Trump is going to. So, I think we've come into this weird era of there's so much, you know, the cancel culture, and it's so vicious and so destructive that people are just like, you know, I'm not gonna get into it. But you have, again, people on the one hand, okay, I'll wear my mask, but then if you close a bar, I'm gonna just go and hang with my friends at the house, right? You've got people who say, oh no, I don't know who I'm gonna vote for, but I think Trump's gonna win. I think that there's a giant difference between what people are saying to pollsters and things like that and what people are doing. What are you doing? Are you...
I'm going to check on our guest. I'm going to step off camera for
a second.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, where's Chuck? Chuck is leaving. He's got. He's calling. Yeah, we're gonna do the call. Don't mind Chuck here. Live podcasting from our basement. So 888-627-6008. One other thing I wanted to talk about too in Denver, the city of Denver is finally cleaning up the. Hang on a second. Hey Chuck, you're gonna have to go off camera, off mic to do that. Sorry. Okay. No, but you know what I mean, because we're going to hear you talking. We want people that they're clearing out the homeless camp at Maury Middle School. Now, they learned from the last time around, and what they're doing is rather than making a big announcement so Candy C. DeBaca from the Denver City Council can organize all the homeless advocates and people like Tay Anderson to go down there and try to shut the whole thing down. They didn't do that, but they went down there today. I guess they were like 80 tents or something like that. And I have to say, I agree. Given the fact that they should have never allowed this to happen in the first place, what they're doing, I think, is a good idea, and that they send in the social workers, they send in people like that to sort of tell these people, hey, we're going to do this. But here's the thing. It's all for show, okay? These homeless people, do you think for a second that one of the homeless people standing outside of Maury Middle School is going, what, my God, you mean they have resources to help the homeless people? I had no idea. I've been here living in this tent all of this time, being hungry and stuff like that. I had no idea that there were resources to help the homeless. It's all a freaking show, right? They do that just so they can say, see, and another thing too, they do that so they can drum up more money to go to the homeless coalitions and the homeless organizations, which, you know, if you left them in charge of anything, you know, the world would be even in worse shape than it is. If they haven't been able to address, homelessness gets worse and worse, right? So they're clearly not doing anything. So to me, that part of it is a show, but hopefully they can avoid the confrontation but not putting the cops in the bad spot. I think I have to put my glasses on to see Don from Colorado Springs. Hey, Don, thank you for calling Chuck and Julie show. Chuck stepping away to check on a guest. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I see you on YouTube.
Oh, hi! We love you watching us on YouTube.
Well, like I said, welcome back. You know, I'm glad you landed on your feet. You know, and keep up the fight. I do want to talk about some of the comments that your guest made. Basically, Nevada and all of that. They are going with the ballot harvesting tactics.
Right.
And you know, if the mail-in ballot can delay the fight lasts long, they'll use that to cheat their way into the office. And you know that the Democratic Party has been long known for cheating the odds and the election.
Right. Well, yeah, and excuse me, sometimes I think there are plenty of opportunities for cheating and fraud. I think one thing also that we have to remember, and we've seen this happening here in Colorado, is that the Democrats have a built-in ground game infrastructure with the unions, with the green organizations, with the homeless organizations, with the Planned Parenthood. They have a built-in.
If you knock any of those coalitions out,
right? Yeah.
You could take out the Democratic Party that way. But they are a money-making machine, and that's how they win so much. But because they are the party of so much compassion and so much have their backs, they get away with so much.
Right. Well, and
the Republican Party just twiddles their thumbs and goes, duh.
Well, yeah, I don't know if the Republican Party thinks that at some point, you know, they're going to get a ground game together. But the reality is, is they're not going to. No, I mean, they don't. Because as you said, it's a whole, the whole thing is like a money laundering scheme where, so if I'm Planned Parenthood, I know that I'm going to get all of my money from the Democrat Party. So what do? Well, I work with the Democrats to make sure that we get more Democrats elected. And what do I do now? Then they use me to get even more Democrats elected.
The Republicans that are in Congress and all that, basically, they just come in to make the money, and if the country goes to the dogs, so be it.
Yeah, they're making their money. Yeah, they don't care. Right.
Cory Gardner? You're saying Cory Gardner?
Yeah, no, and we're supposed to vote for this guy. I hate talk show hosts that tell me. And I still listen to you guys. I know.
You don't tell us. We're not telling you to vote for Cory Gardner. You got the wrong show.
I kind of locked horns with you about Donald Trump when he was just a candidate at one time. But I mean, you know.
Well, I was for Trump pretty early. I
make people think.
Yeah.
I wasn't for Trump at the very, very beginning, but I was early on a big Trump supporter.
Well,
not the first one.
When he became the candidate chosen.
No.
Well, that's not an argument.
Well,
you were for Ted Cruz for a while.
Well, for a month, I was for Ted Cruz, but for the rest of the time, I was very much, in fact, by far the most on KNUS of anybody. So you may have been talking to
Peter Boyles was for Donald Trump from the start.
Right.
Yeah, but tepidly.
Don, let me clue you into a little secret here, too. And once again, shocker, it involves money. There's a reason that talk show hosts, and not just in Colorado, but around the country, support the incumbent establishment candidate because they have money. Radio stations and TV stations make an enormous amount of money off of political ads, right? And
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and if you've got, I mean,
but the talk show host should not necessarily represent the company and all that. That's where you have those disclaimers.
I guarantee you, at KNUS, they put pressure on us, right? And I don't know this for now, but I guarantee you, they're putting pressure on them there. We can say this now. They would flat out come say, "Can you please just not trash Cory Gardner?" Not that they cared at all about whether we like Cory Gardner or don't, but Cory Gardner had money to spend and they didn't. So that's another little secret that nobody likes to talk about.
And you know what? It doesn't surprise me one bit. I mean, you know, if they got the money, you know, and all that, that's what matters. You know, it doesn't matter if they're if you're a bad candidate. That's why podcasting is kind of the wave of the future in conservative media and talk media.
Nope, I think you're right. Hey, well, listen, thank you for finding us.
Thank you.
Have a good one. I'll talk again soon.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you. 888-627-6008 if you want to call in. And again, the guys out there on Zoom, feel free to open up. But I think, you know, back to they were talking about, Don had a point about the mail ballots. And I think the trouble is that they're going to use the mail ballots, this is what I believe, to try to win this time. If they win, they won't really have to worry about mail ballots anymore. They'll just change the election laws illegally. I mean, it's only going to be like a one-time thing, right? They're going to have more Supreme Court justices. They're going to have illegal aliens voting. They're going to have...
Country's over.
Yeah.
Country's
mail ballots will become the least of our problems. But Chuck, I'm getting the sense that people are becoming more skeptical. We've got TV stations around the country, interestingly, doing stories. Did you see the one, some CBS local affiliate did it where they mailed out several hundred, pretend ballots and 3% of them didn't even ever get delivered. Another significant percentage of them got delivered too late to vote, right?
And the whole thing is the ballot harvesting portion of it. And the Republicans would do fine without the ballot harvesting. One, it's much easier to go into an apartment house that has 500 units and just, you know, boom, 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 boom.
Right.
To be out in the Western Slope where people have ranches and off the road. I mean, you just can't collect them as quickly or as easily or in the same numbers. And two, you have to have the army to do it. Well, if you have a group that are dependent upon government spending, i.e. teachers unions, SEIU and everything else. So you got a built-in army that you, and then you can add to that your volunteers. So the Republicans are a huge advantage. And the third part is, if you ever worked with volunteers for the Democratic Party and work for volunteers for the Republican Party, there's a big difference. Republicans never cheat. They go, no, I've red hair that I'm allowed to collect. Just 10
pounds.
Democrats think anything that slows them down is voter suppression. Well, that's a racist law. I'm not doing that.
Oh, I know. I know. It's like insanity. You know, one thing to want to talk a little bit about, unless you have something else you wanted to get into
there.
Okay. And we're going to have Anil Mathai on Wednesday. So I'm teasing Anil, but he posted something, and this hadn't, every time I think I have kind of figured out the depths of the evilness and the depravity of the Democrat Party, something else comes up and I'm like, oh my God, I hadn't even thought of that. So, and he'll talk about this Wednesday, but was talking about, he was at a church service on Sunday, right, and he posted this on Facebook, so it's all over. And there was a guy in the lobby who was making a lot of noise complaining about, he's been at 3 different churches and people aren't wearing masks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Anil went and said, hey guy, you know, people are trying to pray. Well, just, can you keep it down? And he said that the guy went out in his car and Anil suspected he was trying to call the police, who never came. But I hadn't thought of that. You look at, all of a sudden, the Democrats, they start here, right? The George Floyd thing, right? Okay, that's bad. We all agree. That's bad.
Great.
Shouldn't have happened, right? We need police reform. Great, we have that. But then they take a little bit further. Now they're defacing the state capitol for everything, right?
Which is good. Oh, no, that's not good.
That's not good. Now they're tearing down statues that have nothing to do with anything. Now they're taking over sections of the city and declaring autonomous zones. Now they're actually pushing to defund police. And all of a sudden you notice, and again, anymore, I'm just a giant conspiracy person. All of a sudden now they're burning Bibles in Portland, right? They're burning Bibles and pigs' heads and things like that. And there is this attack, like you said, in Nevada, you know, you can have casinos, but you can't go to church services, right?
And Roberts upheld that.
Right.
Oh, that's perfectly good use of discretion we must give to our local officials.
And all of a sudden now you clearly have, and Anil will talk about this on Wednesday, but my suspicion is you got guys like this. He wasn't going there to church to pray. Why was he just church shopping in this day and age, right? No, he's showing up at various churches,
right,
and I'm sure they monitor them where they know that they aren't, you know, that, and they go there to see if people are not wearing masks. Then they harass them, then they call the police and they try to make a big deal. Once again, to try to force people to wear masks, to try to force churches to not start having services, and again, burning the Bible. What on earth does burning the Bible have to do with racial equality and Black Lives Matter? You'd think that the Bible like supports, you know, equality and things, and love your neighbor.
Well, it supports what you want it to support, but or.
But in general, though,
You know, love thy neighbor. I mean, you know, this Old
Testament.
That's New Testament. Old Testament's a little more hard school, but they just don't like, you know, they don't like your God. They don't like your family. Black Lives Matter is against the nuclear family. And like, oh, okay.
Right.
You know, just amazing stuff.
This is from Ben. If Black Lives Matter, I say prove it. Exactly. The Black community has problems fomented by their association with the Democrat Party. The Black nuclear family has been destroyed. Children born out of wedlock exceed 70%. Young Black men are killing young Black men in the Black community, venerating the bad and vilifying the good in their community. No, I mean, exactly, right? You look at what it say, like homicides in the country nationwide are up 25%.
And up some huge number in Denver.
There were 2 people killed in like 6 shot in Denver in 21 hours. That's in Denver, right? I mean, Chicago.
Lucky the mayor is taking a bold stand on it.
Yeah, he's exactly. What is a bold stand? What is a police department's plan to crack down on violence and the raise of the homicide rate? Telling legal gun owners to lock their guns up.
Yeah.
There we go. That'll solve it. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, maybe just, you know, following the other laws, that might send a message to people. But I go back to, though, and again, you're right. I mean, they want violence. Burning the Bible, how did that come up? I mean, was somebody sitting around at a Portland Antifa meeting and go, you know, let's burn some Bibles. And then somebody else will go, Bill, what does that have to do with, you know, our message? And it's like, oh, you know, nothing really. That just burned Bibles. No, that's not how it happens.
Just you know, go ahead. And then you'll have, you know, you have the Southern Baptists now being controlled by the left. You're like, how did the left, they get hold, any organization you got eventually goes over to the left, no matter what the original, you know, Henry Ford Foundation, everything else. Everything entropies down into the worst you could have, which is the left.
And I go back, this is my whole theory, it's all tied into, they want chaos, they want confusion. Again, they want to get rid of Donald Trump because, for a number of reasons, but one, Donald Trump came in and he disrupted the gravy train revolving door, right? Where we saw that with the FBI and the Department of Justice, where you have, so you're Robert Mueller, you work for the FBI, the Department of Justice, you get out, you get a consulting job, you funnel contracts back to your friends at the FBI, they funnel contracts to you, then you go back and work for the FBI.
Although the Department of Justice is great for that with Boeing.
Because
Boeing has always had trouble with antitrust.
Okay.
Claim that they were bribing foreign people and so forth. And so if you're in the Department of Justice and a fervid anti-Trump person, but you've sort of gotten caught, you just go to Boeing. You just go to the legal department. Their legal department is the most woke legal department ever. Well, I mean, you may say, well, they're going to lawfare, they're going to go Boeing. That's the same difference.
They just go back and forth. Yeah. So Donald Trump disrupts that. There's another reason why you have all these global corporations, I believe, joining this whole Black Lives Matter, the Antifa thing, and funding that, right? They're all, they want a global economy. They want to go to China. There's a reason, thank God Trump is trying to crack down on TikTok, right? Which is this massive information, artificial intelligence gathering, all of this data that they're gathering, right? And Trump's like, and they tell us, TikTok says, oh no. And they hired an American CEO, like, that changes things. Like, no American CEO, now. But they're like, Diane Feinstein. China's a great country.
She's incredible. She had a Chinese spy that was part of her staff. Very respectable citizen. They wouldn't put a spy in like my office.
And in Houston, of course, we had to they're burning down their embassy. But anyway, you look at Joe Biden with his son and the Burisma thing. I mean, there's all this money flowing back and forth. Trump is going to disrupt that. Trump is going to call out the Nikes and say, build an Apple and say, build your stuff over here in the United States. They don't want to do that. For them, it's just the global stuff. And they're all against Trump. And I think then you throw them out, you can't be religious. You can't have a nuclear family. You've got toxic masculinity if you've got a dad in the house. Now, I think they've tripped over the whole school issue because now you've got more parents at home realizing what's going on and saying, but number one, I can't work. Now, number two, you're not teaching my kid anything.
Yeah.
Number three, if I have to risk going to work, which is not a risk in the first place, how come you don't have to go to work?
It's amazing.
But I think they want to get rid of anything that gives people a sense of, of their own self-worth and their own self-important and that there are rights and worth that comes to you from God, not from your book club, right?
We know the same people, but do you know a single person who voted for Trump last time that says, nope, I'm not going to do it this time?
No.
I don't know one.
No.
I don't know. Now,
out there, call us and tell us why.
We'd love to hear that.
888-627-6008.
I'd love to hear that. Now, I can't say I know of any Democrats saying, I'm voting for Trump this time, because that'd be so socially unacceptable.
But what there are, though, and that's what I'm wondering, I think maybe we are like Brian Jundep. We should be hopeful unless they steal the election. Yeah, but I do know, again, some of the people that I just talk with in general are just mad about stuff. Again, my one friend, who she's mad because now she's got to face a private school wants to take her money. She's like, I know as soon as I give my money, they'll cancel school. And I'm going to have to spend other money to do something with my kids. I think people are silently mad. And then I had another friend who was like, she's like, I don't want to talk about Black Lives Matter. She said, I am so angry about that whole thing. She said, I'm so angry about the violence that I'm seeing. She drives through downtown Denver. She's like, I'm so angry about what I see going on at the Capitol.
Right.
And those people are rioting. And she saw my video where I got punched. And she said, you get punched. And she said, and you were there. She goes, wasn't that a for the police rally? I'm like, yes.
Very controversial.
I wonder if there are more people out there, and to me the question is, will they vote or will they just say, I hate all of this? I don't know.
Well, neither do I. I mean, it's hard to believe that every poll is off, but they were for 2016, so maybe they can be. The last time I had the IDP poll, which I actually believed in, and they showed Trump ahead, and they show him behind this time, so I know at least one time they weren't just total BS.
Right.
All right, we've got Fighting Ben on.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're good, thank you.
I just wanted to pose that question to your audience there. As of today, about 157,400 have died of this COVID, or leastwise it's attributed to that.
Right.
My question that I have to your audience is, how many of those people do you think are going to be voting in this November?
They already got their ballot. And it's already been harvested. And
that's right.
Democratic candidate.
In the Democratic controlled states, I would assume probably quite a few of them.
Yes.
Right.
So, I mean, this whole thing is just, I don't know, it's just, it's maddening to watch this and seeing how they're doing. You know what we suffer here? And that is that we have mail-in ballots here.
Yes.
In this state. And so it is to have people say that there's no problem with it, it's just bogus. I've told you before that I was a poll watcher in the 2016 election. And I can tell you that I saw racks of those ballots being challenged, and that our county clerk sent those to the democratically controlled district attorney, and not one of them was ever prosecuted. So this stuff about, well, it's just not, it's not true. It is true. There's a lot of fraud that's going on with these voting.
I mean, Jared Polis tweeted in all capitals, mail, period, ballot, period, works, period. I'm like, well, for you.
Yeah.
If you're a Democrat.
$24 million with ballot harvesters works for you, you crook.
I mean, works being the operative term.
Sure. Well, they were able to get that through here. There's several things. I think Colorado is a petri dish for a lot of different testing that the Democrats are doing. It's a small enough state with the population, and they control all three branches of the government now.
So, and the establishment Republicans are supine.
That's right. They go right along with it. They don't fight. I mean, I was shocked, like I said the other day, that we did have at least one person, and that was Tim Neville, that is preparing that lawsuit. He brought in, but it didn't come from the establishment Republicans.
Oh God, no! As long as they can control a rump Republican Party, they're happy.
Right.
Because then they're going to have consultants to it, and they're going to have other things, and they're happy.
For people like you guys, that you have this show and that you are getting this message out to your audience. There's a lot, like the gentleman from Colorado Springs that just found you on YouTube.
Right.
Your voice is sorely missed on the radio stations.
We wouldn't have survived the last period. I would have said something. I mean, there's zero chance I would have said something that offended somebody somewhere.
But
I'm kind of hopeful, because you look at stuff, and I think, and thank God for Trump putting it. I mean, what Trump did is smart in a way, I believe, when he tweeted the other day, maybe we should delay the election, because what he does is he's forcing them to talk, the mainstream media people, to talk about all-mail balloting, and then in so doing, they have to condemn Trump for saying there might be a problem. So I'm wondering if there might be people who have never even thought about this before who are suddenly saying, well, is there a problem? Yeah. You mean there might be a problem?
But they always point to Colorado. See, there's not one evidence of any problem. And of course, there's tons of evidence that lots of problems.
Like you said, but the DAs just
DAs don't do anything.
That's right.
The Denver Post would be right on it, though. Yeah.
So Soros is the one who finances a lot of those election process for the district attorneys and also the state AG's office.
Yeah.
Well, you got to ask yourself.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you got to ask yourself, why is Soros doing that, right? Because, this is not just, I believe, not just coincidence. There are people out there, I think, who have a long-term plan. And they have certain things, and they're not Republicans, unfortunately, right. And they want to.
Other than Mitt Romney.
Soros makes a lot of money when he devalues a nation's currency.
Right.
And so if you have an unrest in this country, and you have nobody saving their money, that also affects the amount of our good credit, if you will, across the nation. So you have, just the Federal Reserve notes only. It's not really backed by any kind of gold or silver.
No.
Well, I gotta wonder though too if they have overplayed. Well, because I also kind of believe that the establishment Democrats have been hijacked by the mob. right? Mm-hmm. And I wonder if they've overplayed their hand by closing schools and by all of the violence that's going on. Because I think people care about
their
kids.
You think that would be a, hey, we've got a great idea for the 2020. Let's force all the schools to be closed and force the kids to stay home. And then let's have rioting.
And shootings and up. Shootings and murders up.
And then the poll comes out, yeah, the country loves us. You know, it's just so popular.
Just look who controls the school boards.
Yeah.
I mean, the school board elections are really financed by the unions, the teachers' unions. Right. Those candidates on the Democratic side never have to pay for any money. It's all financed by them. It's a circular thing that takes place there. And they're the ones who negotiate with the union to collect those dues. They are the ones that hire the school superintendent to set the curriculum.
Right.
So it's a vicious cycle, and yet there's not very many Republicans, hardly at all, on those because they can't really stand the pressure from the other side, you know, financially anyway.
All right. Hey, listen, Ben, we're running out of time here. Thank you for chiming in. It's good to see you. We'll wave to you across the golf course.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks. Do you want to talk real quick about Synagenix?
Yeah, Synagenix, you know, age is just a number. But how you feel is everything. And Synagenix specializes in getting people so they can be their absolute best, their healthiest. And, you know, you won't know what your, is my testosterone level high or low? Is this level high? Is this a, well, you need to find out. You need to have extensive testing. And then you got to go into a regimen which absolutely tailored for you. And you'd meet with Julie McCallum personally as you go through this thing. And Julie can tell you, I mean, she's,
changed your life and changed Peter's life. Yeah, and Julie McCallum. Yeah, I would say she answers the phone on weekends, whatever. So how do you tell folks how you get hold of them?
720-387-3681. And that's
you'll be glad you
you'll
did.
You'll be really glad you did. And
thank
also
you.
Go to Synagenix, CENEGENICS.
All right. That'll do it for Chuck and Julie on Wednesday. We've got a Neil Mathai, a great show. Thank you to all the guys who called in, Dr. Brian Junedep, the folks at BBS Radio. We'll see you Wednesday.
Bye-bye.